Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Brought to you by Metro Rooter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. Tony, you know me. I'm a sunny disposition all the time, right?
Yeah.
Never the bringer of bad news intentionally, but I'm gonna put a little crimp in all the positivity that we had yesterday. State of the franchise. Fantastic, right? Looked great. Revitalized the shipyards. Here's the problem. Nobody's going to be able to get there because people lose their freaking mind when they have to drive on 95. What is going on?
Oh, my goodness. So, you were ahead of me with that, too. I got off of the interstate.
Yeah, it wasn't as backed up when I got on as it was when you got on.
I got off at Bay Meadows, which is the longest possible way for me to get here.
Truly, if there's no traffic, I drop my kid off at school. If there's no traffic, I'm going to get to the stadium about 8:20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, but put it this way, there can be traffic as long as it's moving along at the speed limit. I'm gonna get to the stadium about 8:20. I got to the stadium today about 9:35, and I pull up by like Bay Meadows going north says accident in 7 miles, which is about Emerson.
Yeah,
accident about 7 miles.
I heard it on my radio.
Like two lanes are blocked.
Oh, okay. So the accident is at Emerson. I was at Bay Meadows when I got stopped. I was like, I'm not dealing with this for all the stretch.
And usually it'll move along, and I'm kind of doing whatever. I'm going along, and I'm fine. But then it's dead stop. Finally, you get between University and Emerson. Okay, there are some First Coast News vehicles off to the side of the road, but they're behind a concrete wall, right? There's like that concrete wall. There's construction going on. They may be widening it. I don't know what they're doing. There's always construction going on, right?
It's been a bad accident.
But it's always, they're all on the other side. The three lanes are completely clear. Here's what I'm saying. How you can go from dead stop, then all of a sudden you finally crawl to this point, and all of a sudden everyone starts driving the speed limit. There's no, there may have been an accident at some point. There's no ambulance. There's no sign of anything. There's no debris. There's nothing out there but people losing their mind.
Was there even like an officer or a tow truck or anything
nothing.
On scene?
No.
Just the
Zippo.
News.
And they were, I'm telling you, they weren't like in the breakdown lane. They were on the other side of a concrete wall. No reason for you to even slow down as you're rubbernecking to see what they're pointing their cameras at. I don't know.
That's a little ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
I was kind of glad that I had to go the way that I did this morning, though, because I wound up on the Hart Bridge instead of the main bridge coming down.
Did you
here.
Get a good look at the shipyards
coming
in?
You know, I'm coming in and I'm looking left and I'm like, no way.
Dubai is coming. Abu Dhabi. It's been, I mean, everyone yesterday, I don't know how many people, right, that we all were like, that looked like the United Arab Emirates. Or,
it really did. From the moment that the show started, when the first picture or whatever came up, I was like, wow, that looks a lot like Miami. Like, that was my first thought. I was like, that looks like something that would be in Miami.
A lot of some pastels and stuff in there.
And then as it got bigger and bigger, I was like, whoa, this is way bigger than Miami. Like, it was like, this is not, we want to be the coolest thing in a downtown in Florida, Northeast Florida, the Southeast. We want to be world class with what we're going to put in there. I mean, the vision of that is just absolutely incredible.
You know, you come to Jacksonville. If you're a tourist, this is my guess, right? And I don't know. The Tourism Council Bureau people can correct me and slap me down if I'm wrong. That wouldn't be the first time, okay? But I think, all right, what do you come to Jacksonville for? Forget the Jags. And if you're coming for a football game or a specific game, but what are the things that, like, year-round, what brings you to Jacksonville? I would think golf is a big one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the TPC facilities.
We have beaches.
We have beaches, but a lot of places have beaches.
Sure.
Right? I mean, there are all kinds of beautiful beaches.
You can kind of do Central and Northeast Florida in one sweep if you wanted to. Where
I guess.
You could do Orlando and kind of do the golf up here in this area, and St. Augustine and all the history down there is cool.
But you go to certain cities, right? And like around the South or wherever, and you're like, oh, they've got these, like, just these cool, like, downtown kind of little artsy or shopping or something unique about it that you're like, well, I at least want to see that and soak it in. That is, you know, one of the things I was thinking of yesterday. I mean, if this really gets to the point of fruition and everything's done and they cut the ribbon, and doesn't that look gorgeous? I mean, other than the fact that you can't get there going 95 north anymore, All right. It's going to be I would think a destination more than just during football season. At least I would hope. Maybe I'm giddy. I've given up. I wore a sport coat. Shad still doesn't want to adopt me. I give him my best shot, man. I'm not going to put a tie on for you, Shad. I'm just going to have to suffer through and work for a living, I guess. But, you know, that's the thing about this. They still have to go and get a lot of things done in order to get this accomplished.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's still a lot of things. And that goes for the club seats as well. There's a sales tax rebate vote that's going to happen in Tallahassee. And Mark Lamping yesterday, I think it was serious. He even looked to Shad off the stage. I don't know how much you could see watching the video compared to probably most everything, mm-hmm. right? And he said, well, you know, I don't know if there is a plan B.
Yeah, he was. Right? We have a plan A.
Right.
And I'm not sure what it is.
Which is this that. Vote goes in our favor.
He kind of just looks at Shad like, checkbook. Like.
Right. Right. Do we have a plan B? Are you going to stroke that check? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, so they're, and while all the plans are laid out, and it's very smart. I think they're obviously very smart people, right? Visionary people. Yeah. Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, the two of them together are, just going for it big. Like Shad said,
right.
You can't do a piecemeal, you're never going to get there. Bam, here's what we're doing. We're doing the whole thing.
And, you know, I talked about this a little bit last night, but Mark Lamping is a champ. To stand up there and make that presentation he was making, knowing we all kind of wanted to see what the shipyards were going to be, but he knew what the presentation was going to look like. To stand up there and do that, knowing that we're all kind of anticipating, and I don't know what the image of it was in your head. I was like, okay, we're going to get a practice facility and some bars or restaurants in here. It's going to look pretty cool. Like, that was kind of the idea in my head. And then that presentation started. To stand up there and know what we were going to get at the end of that thing and just do your thing as Mark Lamping, what a champion, man.
Well, you know, you're not going to, no one's going to pay attention to anything you say after they see that video.
No.
So you've got a captive audience, and why not talk about your successes, you know, expanding the revenue base and all this, you know, international game and local revenue and, you know, tons of indicators that show the Jags are moving in the right direction. And I thought, you know, because there's been a lot of talk about the percentage of NFL fans in the city that identify themselves primarily as Jaguar fans.
Sure.
If you just watch the one graphic he showed right after that, where it peaked over the last 10 years in what year, Tony, would you guess? 2007!
Right.
What happened then? They went to the playoffs! Well,
they won a playoff
they
game.
They won a playoff game. They pushed the undefeated Patriots, more than they expected to. They had the most on-field success.
Right.
And, oh, they spiked up in terms, people say, you know, you are a fan of what you are. No, that's what you are. That's what we are. We work in this business. We've been fans, whatever. We consume sports to an unhealthy degree sometimes, probably.
Sure.
Oh, I'm of casual people out there. That
a
are
lot
like,
of
hey.
People who grew up in another part of the country who maybe they did grow up a Steelers fan. And so they kind of follow Pittsburgh now that they live in town. They watch, what, 6-7 Steelers games a year, maybe. They're aware of what the Jaguars are doing. Those are the people that in 2007, when you went and asked them, who are you a fan of? They were like, Jacksonville, baby, we're rolling. Like, those are the kind of fans that you turn when you have success, and that's where that number comes from.
Some of those, and I think a lot of the young kids, I know some kids, you know, relatives and friends of relatives that were fans of other teams because when they're growing up, the Jags are terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible. It's tough for a kid to have that stick-to-itiveness, you know, to say, oh, yeah, another 5-11. Well, I believe in the vision. You know, you're 7, Joey. You know, you want to go, hey, look at my team scored 45.
Right.
I mean, so whatever the reason being, there are a lot of indicators pointing in a good direction for the Jags. We want your reaction to yesterday. We're going to talk a lot about this today. You got to get it done. They put it out there. I think they've gotten people excited about it. They're going to create a little political groundswell,
yeah.
I would think, of support behind it. Now, how can you not be excited about that when you watch that? You're like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, I didn't grow up in Jacksonville, but I drive to work here every day when I can make it on 95. I don't know if you've heard. It's difficult at times.
Mm-hmm.
But you come in and to like you said, I drive right past the shipyards every single day because I come down Bay Street every single day.
Yep.
And you're just like, it's like this weird kind of disconnected little stretch from like the courthouse down there. I know there's a few things, the Maxwell House plant and what have you, but it doesn't feel vibrant at all. You know, it's just, and all of a sudden, wow, you come under the the overpass and boom, there's the stadium and the sports complex and all that's great, but the vision is so much more than that.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to get to some of the comments from ShotKhan yesterday during the announcement, but you know, where he said when he came here in 2011, he's driving to the stadium and he's like, we have the doormat. We have the front door to downtown Jacksonville in this complex for the stadium and everything, and there's nothing there on the riverfront, and it just made no sense to him for there to be nothing there. And I could, as long as I've been here, there's been nothing there. And now that I'm working down here at the stadium every day, I drive by the shipyards 10 times a day. You know, and I'm just like, look at there. There's a patch of dirt. Like, we're doing nothing with.
Right.
It's, and for ShotKhan to come in, and like I said, for the idea in my head to be, all right, let's get a practice facility and some restaurants maybe in there or something like that. For that to be the idea in my head, it just tells you the difference between me and ShotKhan is so extremely vast, because his idea is, let's have an amphitheater with a bridge. It's kind of cool looking, going over the back so that you can stand on that and watch from there too, in a world-class hotel. And we'll not just have a practice facility. How about three fields? And one of them is just kind of a public use field. And it's the idea is so big. It's crazy.
We'll get into it today. The pros, the cons. What are the cons of ShotKhan's proposal yesterday? I know there are naysayers out there, and that's fine. You don't have to be a teal-eyed a lemming who lines up and agrees with everything that the franchise puts out there. I'm excited about it. Just genuinely excited.
About it from a Jaguar perspective. I'm excited about it as a citizen of Jacksonville.
Look, but I think the connection between the two, Tony, is I'm paraphrasing now how I believe right at the end, was it Schott or Mark Lamping who got up there? I think it might have been Mark Lamping. It said, basically, this is going to be great for the city of Jacksonville, and what's great for the city of Jacksonville is outstanding for the Jacksonville
Absolutely.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
And again, Tony, I don't know about you. Still do a bunch of radio spots around the country whenever, during football season, and invariably, sometimes it's still the first question I get, but it's always a question. So what about the Jags moving to London? What about, and I'm like, you know what? I think like the next time I'm in Cleveland, I'm going to be like, so what about that, that lake catching on fire, that river?
You know?
You're afraid of that's going to happen again or what?
It's funny because I talked about that a lot last night on my show too. I was like, look, maybe 3 years ago, you know, when people say something about you and you kind of half believe it, you get mad. You know, when you're not really sure about yourself or what they're saying about you, you get mad about those kind of things. I was like, 3 years ago when they said ShotKhan's going to move the team to L.A. or London, while I didn't really believe that was what was going to happen, the possibility felt like it was
right.
there.
Right, and the more you talked about it, what are you trying to do? Push him there?
Right,
come on,
right.
Shut up.
So it was like, you'd get mad, you'd get defensive 3 years ago. Now, if someone tells you the team's moving to London, laugh at them. Laugh at them. They're not going anywhere. I feel so secure in saying that. And when people nationally want to take their shots that way, let them. And you laugh because you don't have to be defensive about it anymore. Your owner has given you no reason to believe there's any possibility of that kind of thing happening. Laugh at them. There's no reason to be defensive about it anymore, baby.
All right, I have an update. I have an I-95 corridor update for you right now. Tyler says, caller drove through that area. I'm going to call it the Bay Meadows to Emerson hell stretch.
Yes.
For lack of a better phrase right now.
At least was today, buddy.
It said sometime between 2:30 and 4, a rig hit a light pole. Debris from that accident hit three other cars, caused them to lose control, and then three more cars crashed into them. 7-car accident total.
Wow.
I don't doubt that there originally was an accident there. But where was it at 9:30 in the morning? Because I'm telling you, there was nothing there, yet people are driving. They're parked on 95. I don't know. I just think people lose their minds in these situations. You can still go 40 and you will move along fine. It'll be great. You can get all your rubbernecking in on all that stuff that's happening on the other side of the cement wall. Just keep moving. Just keep moving along. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you simply, what is your reaction to the State of the Franchise press conference yesterday? Weigh in on that. either on the phone lines or via Twitter, at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. And I got the same post up from yesterday on the Facebook page, which is more of the same. Weigh in on your thoughts from what you heard from Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and company. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony will take your calls, and we'll talk more about the state of the franchise, the shipyards, and everything else that goes with it next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. If it's Jaguar-related, you can bring it to the table, 641-1010. You want to talk about the shipyards, good or bad, the presentation you saw yesterday? It was hard not to be excited watching that
there's
video.
There's nothing bad about the presentation.
Oh, the presentation was excellent. I mean, what, you know, the content of the presentation, you know what I mean. The presentation was outstanding. They apparently, I was told they... The video's been done for a little bit, and they've been watching it like eye candy over and over and over.
When
just
we were on
giddy,
yeah, when we were on Radio Row, and you and Brent had the opportunity to talk to Shad for a couple minutes. Brent came down, and one of the things he took away from it was he asked him about his plans for the shipyards, and he was like, "Well, we have this animation." And he was like, Shad was all kinds of excited about it. And it was basically, yeah, sometime in the next month, we're going to show everybody what it looks like. But Shad was just sitting there kind of giddy. It was almost like he had just seen it for the first time or something. And he was like, yeah.
Well, this is his baby, man. I mean, this is what he does. He's a visionary. And he can't just snap his fingers and make it happen.
No.
Obviously. And he's got to do his part and continue. And, you know, other things have to go in place, and it's way above my pay grade to know what everything is that needs to get done. I'm sure there are some potential pitfalls to this and hang-ups and what have you. But, Tony, I was sitting there watching it in the little audience, so I don't know exactly what was shown on the screen, but as soon as the presentation was done, Shad was beaming. I mean, he had finally you all get to see what I've been watching for the last few weeks over and over and over and over and over again.
And you know, I was struck last night or yesterday afternoon listening to it and watching that presentation. One of the first things Shad said when he got up there to present the video was that he's read about the history of what's been done in the shipyards, and it's kind of been a boulevard of broken dreams. And I was like, this dude standing up there saying boulevard of broken dreams, when is the last time one of his dreams didn't happen? You know, these big ideas that he's had as somebody who immigrated to this country and was working in a factory for peanuts, and now he owns the factory. Now he's a multi-billionaire. He wanted an NFL franchise. St. Louis told him no, so then he met Wayne Weaver, and it worked out for him to get a franchise here in Jacksonville. He has one of the biggest businesses in the world. He owns a soccer club because he wanted to do that too. When this guy stands up and says, I have an idea, those ideas happen. You know, they don't fail. His ideas don't fail. So for him to stand up in that verbiage to me was so spot on with a guy like that, because whatever he's dreamed has happened. And if his dream for what's going to happen in the shipyards is this, I am so sure that eventually this is what the shipyards will look like, or at least something like that, because of the vision of Shad Khan.
I hope that's the case. You know, I mean, I have confidence in him. You can't be sure because there are a lot of elements that are outside of his control on this.
But things seem to work for
Shad. The talk now is with Los Angeles, if the Rams move there, as everyone's expecting them to do, like play one more season in St. Louis and go to L.A., then the Chargers maybe follow them there. There's also been talk maybe one team like Oakland or even San Diego relocates back to St. Louis, kind of a game of musical chairs.
Sure.
That may be the case, but right now, if you're a Rams fan, if you have any clue what's going on here in this city, are you just going, damn it!
Yeah, I tweeted that out immediately afterwards. I was
we have Kroenke?
Do you think Rams fans are aware of what Shad Khan is doing in Jacksonville, and if they are, what's their reaction? And I actually had...
You know what he should do, just to taunt them? Should build a bigger gateway arch than they have. Just one, the gateway to the Atlantic Ocean.
Because they got the riverfront property.
Right here.
I saw on Reddit,
everyone who sails into the shipyards will have to go under the arch.
Right.
That'd be perfect.
Right, but Irish Jaguar actually tweeted me a link to a Reddit conversation after the announcement yesterday, and there were a bunch of Rams fans on there. They were just like, he's doing what? He's doing, we got riverfront property that we're not doing anything with.
Good.
It was like, they were like, I can't believe this crook Kroenke is our owner and that guy's down in Jacksonville.
Hey, I don't know if Kroenke's
of all places
not,
doing what he's doing.
We got our guy.
We
you,
do.
You
man.
Got your guy. Live with it. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Let's start with Jim this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. Listen, just real quick. I do think one of the biggest problems with this is that the reason you're getting a lot of the negative is because it is Jacksonville. I mean, in my profession, I deal a lot with common interest realty, and I've dealt with major developments all over the place, whether it's guys like Trump or, you know, just the big developers up and down the East Coast. And the problem is that I also deal with a lot of developers in Jacksonville, and this is so non-Jacksonville. And I think that's what blows a lot of people away, because when you deal with people like the Donald Trumps of this world that look at something and go, we can do this. I mean, people look at Dean Beeman. I remember when Mr. Beeman was talking about, you know, the players, and people thought, you must have six heads to build a golf course out here in the middle of this garbage.
Right.
And look what it is today. It's people like that that are fascinating to deal with. And I love every minute of what I do in this stuff. And that's what blew me away when I heard you guys yesterday kind of describing the shipyards, because all I could hear on the radio, I was like, I couldn't wait to get to where I was going so I could hook up to my laptop and see what this whole thing was about. And it was fascinating. But I think a lot of the negative is because people look at the people in Jacksonville think Jacksonville. And I don't mean that derogatorily. I've been here pretty much all but 8 years of my life. So, I mean, I've been around here, but I just think that's what's so fascinating about it, because somebody finally comes in and says, we're going to do something so much bigger than what anybody here in Jacksonville could ever imagine. And I just think that's just cool to watch, and hopefully it comes to fruition. You know, it'll be exciting to watch. And if it does, it does make a lot of Jacksonville a little bit more of a destination than what, you know, what you would normally think.
You would hope so, man. I mean, Jim, thank you for the call. A couple of things on that. One, look, it's been not even 24 hours since this, so I don't know what Jim's hearing, but I haven't heard much of the negativity at all. I mean, we're putting it this way. If you want to call in and tell us why you think some of these things are a pipe dream or a bad idea or unreal, whatever.
That, I've heard a little bit of that.
But but overwhelmingly, to me at least, Tony, and,
sure,
you know, the people who are going to talk to me are probably, you know, a different audience. There are a lot of different angles out there. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I've heard a lot of overwhelming positivity. Of course, I'm, you know, communicating more with the hardcore constituency of the fan base than anything. And I think they're excited about, you know, Shad Khan crossing the street.
No, you get that. But the negativity I've heard, a lot of people think that they really can't get this kind of thing done, and I think that they will if they want to. But what you hear is nobody's going to want to go downtown. Nobody wants to go downtown. And I respond to them saying, well, no one wanted to go visit a piece of land over there on 9A either. But they built the town center, and everyone said, no one's going to want to go do this. And now it's thriving. They said the same thing about Tinseltown. Nobody's going to want to drive out to Southside to go do anything. And it's thriving because there's something there to do. They said the same thing about San Marco. It's being revitalized right now. Everyone said, why revitalize San Marco? Nobody wants to go there. Because once they did, people go. And if they put this kind of thing downtown, it wouldn't be nobody's going to go there. It would be another spot to go in Jacksonville.
Or a reason to go downtown. Right.
It makes complete sense to me. And every time that they've tried something, and nothing on this scale in Jacksonville, but everything that they've tried something like this in the last 25 years or so, everyone's been, nobody wants to go there until there's something there to go do, and then we all go.
Right. And I think some of the legitimate questions involve, you know, when it's out of football season, how much can you attract into that area? How much will the business thrive? Well, you know what? Let's find out, right? Wouldn't you rather take a shot and find out what's going to happen on that score? And I think Jim's right. I mean, guys like that, like Trump, I mean, look, Trump's gone broke several times too. So they don't always hit on everything that they do, but he keeps coming back, and he has huge vision. You know, he thinks on a grand scale, and I think Shad Khan does the same thing.
Me too.
And, you know, those guys are the guys the history books remember. You know, I've been saying, Andrew Jackson, you've had a good run.
Sure.
Conville, baby.
And, you know, what else do you want them to do with the shipyards? There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's this very valuable piece of property in Jacksonville where there is nothing.
Right, but I'll play devil's advocate. If a bunch of tax money is going to end up going into this work, the argument would be, well, at least they're not eating up a bunch of our tax money.
No, I hear you. And so my response would be the same thing that I just said. Everything that they've built here in Jacksonville that everyone said this probably isn't going to work, worked. So if they're going to put something like that downtown, I believe it will.
All right, let's go to Marshall next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Marshall. How are you?
Hey, just very quickly, were you around when Jake Godbole was mayor?
No, I'll say no.
Okay, well, a lot of people remember a quote he had talking about the smell on the north side. He called it the smell of money. People didn't realize he was meaning we're generating economic development.
Right
now it happens to smell. He knew it was going to change, but that is not sexy. Having an international destination downtown with people from England wanting to come over here because of the soccer club, with people from other parts of the country wanting to come here to go to sports events, with people coming, you know, I don't know if you've seen the presentation on the USS Adams, the guy who's pulling all that together.
That, no, I haven't seen it. Other than what they showed yesterday, that they plan to permanently dock it there. I haven't seen it, no.
This is being very, very well done. You pull all those things together, we finally have some. As a native, I understand all these reasons, like the guy who was the development business. I saw that yesterday at a meeting, talking about all the reasons companies should come here as a location. That's not sexy. That doesn't fit most of the general population. What Shad Khan did yesterday, and because he did it, it's sexy. And it will get the attention. And it will get the people here. The right people here. It will make jobs for those people who are struggling to not have jobs. I just got to tell you, as a native, I am more ecstatic than the idea of the cleaning up of the river. Not that that wasn't a great idea, but everybody made a big party of it.
Sure. All right, well, hey, Marshall, we appreciate it. Thanks for weighing in, man. We'll get more calls coming up here in a minute. 641-1010. Got this one from Adam Creative on Twitter. Said, reading some Facebook comments and paraphrasing, if Khan had this much money, why won't he spend it to get a better team? That is such a such a short-sighted view of what's going on.
These are the people I laugh at now.
Right. It's like, wait, first of all, let's see what they do in free agency this year. It's not like, you know, when you hear they have $61 million under the cap,
mm-hmm.
they really have about 40. They have 21 from last year that they get to push forward and use that. It's not like it's going away. They're going to spend that money. And I think this, you know, he's put this faith in his football people. Maybe it turns out to be the wrong people, right? We don't know yet because they've only won seven games in the last 2 years. But presuming they're right, I think it was Dave Caldwell's approach that let's just not go willy-nilly spending in free agency. Caldwell himself even said we should have done more going after veteran guys last year.
And, especially on offense.
Right, and everything, every time we've ever talked to him, on the air, off the air, said, hey, Shad Khan's always, we say, we need this. He says, do it. If that's what you think you need to make this team more competitive, you do it. I don't think he stood in the way of doing any of that. I do think there was some of that that went on in the Weaver regime, that they were tight with the checkbook. I expect there to be a frenzy of spending in free agency, and I think people will be disappointed if they don't land at least one or two recognizable big-name contributors to this football team.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Depending on what's available when we get there. I mean, we're still 3 weeks away from that. 20 days from today, free agency will get started, and we don't know what names are going to come off the board between now and then. And it could be a bunch of names that we've been talking about. Randall Cobb, maybe he works something out with Green Bay. Torrey Smith could do the same. I mean, by the time we get to free agency, it could be all right. The best wide receiver, the only one on these rankings ahead of Cecil Shorts, is Crabtree.
Crabtree, right.
We could wind up in that spot. We're not there yet, though.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Come back with more of your calls. 641-1010, the number. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Wednesdays on Jaguars today brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with your plumbing, Metro Rooter keeps it flowing smoothly with same-day service, weekends included, the right people, the right equipment. That's how they've been in business, serving Jacksonville extremely well since 1978. In fact, they go outside the Duval County area as well. I should know. I have them down to my house whenever I have a plumbing problem. I call Metro Rooter at 695-1911. You can visit them at MetroRooter.com. Our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today is Metro Rooter. Tony, a little housekeeping right here. I tweeted out over the weekend. I've been lazy getting around to setting up the Fantasy NASCAR League this year. But for those who played last year and enjoyed it and would like to play again, it's a Yahoo League. If you've never played before, you got plenty of time to sign up. Because the only thing you have to do is have your lineup in by the start of the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's no qualifying points this week. It's not how they do it with the Daytona 500. But you go to Yahoo. If you've got a Yahoo ID, okay, you search for Fantasy NASCAR League number 11561. And if you go to my Twitter feed, I just tweeted it out again. So it's on there, 11561. The password is 1010XL. Couldn't be easier. Okay, so 11561 is the number of the league. The name of the league is Jaguars Today, but it's easier to search on Yahoo by the number of the league rather than the name. You can have 50 people in a league when it fills up. If it fills up, if there's enough interest, I'll do another one. We filled up two of them last year, and it caps you at having three leagues for one username, and I was already in another league, so I stopped it at 100. We'll see where it goes this year. I'll do as many as 150 if you want to get in, just for fun. Who knows? Maybe one day. You know what? Maybe I've got a fine selection of power bars that I got from the lunch buffet over in London. Because they're always like every day. It's like this crazy hodgepodge of power bars that they had out there. So every day I throw one in my backpack. I might need this later. You know,
right. You're
in the hotel. You don't want to pay room service prices. And so I ended up bringing home a bag full of power bars, and they've been sitting on my little bar at the house. Just waiting for a good use.
Waiting for NASCAR
fans. Those things got to be full of some kind of preservative, right? That they're going to be fine by the end of the NASCAR season, I would think.
I would think so.
I would think they'll keep till November. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. I believe Matt is next up on Jaguars today. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Just want to get your guys' thoughts. If they go through with all this development down there at the dock, how long do you think it's going to be before Jacksonville is hosting another Super Bowl?
Long time still, I think. Well, if they get it all done.
You're talking, I mean, who knows how long it'll take to get all that.
Let's say 5 years.
So the conversation will probably start again in about 10, would be my guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, look. Because
maybe 8 to 10
beyond
years.
Beyond that, how many more hotel rooms are you really adding? Are you adding one hotel? How big is that hotel? Have you solved your traffic flow problems? That's the thing I think that sticks. Keep in mind how much a factor the media plays in this, because they're the ones who talk about it, right? They alter the public perception of how an event is held. If the media gets inconvenienced, you're going to feel like everyone had a bad week. And, you know, getting around was not as easy. There were some traffic issues, some snarls. That's just the way it was, right? So unless, you know, that alone, it's a nice addition, you know, in terms of entertainment and potentially things to do. But I think there's a lot more issues. I remember when Shad got the team. I remember one of the first times we talked to him, Tony. He couldn't seem less interested in that. That's such a – let's worry about this franchise getting to Super Bowl status itself. And then the game itself and everything that comes with it.
Sure.
Is a potential thing way down the road. That's something I don't – maybe it's in – you know, Shad thinks big. It could be in the back of his mind somewhere. I don't think that's a realistic possibility anytime in the near future, simply because, for one thing, they've already got them booked out several years, right? And, again, this project's going to need to be complete. There are a lot of other things you'd have to go through. You'd have to have the political desire to make that happen.
Yeah.
And put together, I mean, the package is now what cities give up to host this thing and what they give up to the NFL. I think some regions wonder if it's really worth it. I guess it is, because you always have several cities competing for it every year, and if they weren't getting anything out of it, then I guess they wouldn't do it. But I don't know. I'm of the mind if it ever happens again, it'll be a pleasant surprise to me. I wouldn't be surprised if it never comes back.
I'm kind of along the same lines. And honestly, look, I don't. It's not a big deal for the franchise whether or not the Super Bowl ever comes back. I think it would be a cool deal for the city to have the Super Bowl back because that is a big deal. But as far as the impact for the Jaguars, I don't think it means anything in the long term, whether or not the city is going to be hosting a Super Bowl anytime soon.
Now, the stadium's going to become more and more iconic. Well, you know, as you diversify the look and personalize the look, just those canopies for the U.S. Ashore club seat area, you know, and the way they're going to be designed with that kind of flowing wave style.
Right.
You'll have that on the outside. It will tie in to the look on the inside of the stadium as well. And you've got the scoreboards. You've got...
And that's probably not the end of it. I mean, you remember last offseason when we kind of saw the design for the canopies? Like, not just in
like
the club seats.
The stadium.
But
canopy.
Going over right. the stadium because of the heat and basically the tent that went outside. That may be something they're still thinking about two, three
sure.
years down the road. So they're not done renovating that stadium. It's just they're announcing one thing every offseason at this point. This year it's going to be the club seats that they're redoing, and they look amazing, by the way.
Yeah, which, again, is going to be dependent on a Tallahassee vote on a sales tax refund. I you know, again, way over my head. But, you know, that's the thing. Yesterday, here are the ideas. Now you got to get down to the actual work of implementing them. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that they're not going to do that work, but there's a lot of work to be done. Even as something where you've got U.S. Assure is ready to do this, but they need other funding. They're not going to snap their fingers and these club sections are going to be redesigned overnight like that. There's still a lot of work to be done on that score. And it was nice to be reminded that ultimately, you know, the goal is to remove the tarps as well. And,
sure.
you know, that because they're going to lose some seating, but ultimately the average ticket price continues to rise, even though the typical person's ticket price doesn't continue to rise because they're putting in all these premium spots. They had the rail seating in the north end zone. They're putting that in the south end zone this year, or by 2016, I guess it mm-hmm. will be. And, you know, those, all that stuff for the most part sold out. You know, all the new stuff, and it was a great new source of revenue. And that's the fun thing to watch. I don't know what their projections and what their desire in terms of the pace for this stuff to increase, but all the economic indicators keep ticking up, 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 up.
Sure.
Despite the fact that, Tony, again, Jacksonville, one of the smallest market sizes. As Mark Lampig pointed out yesterday, and we know common sense tells you it's one of the most transient markets because of the military being the major employer that it is here in Jacksonville. People come, people go, and there's a lot of turnover. And you look at a city like Charlotte. Charlotte's grown to where it surpassed Jacksonville in size. It was a lot smaller than Jacksonville when it started out. So there are definitely some concerns, but right now, I think they're doing everything they can to maximize what they have to work with. And, you know, when they tell you that other teams around the league are starting to call them and saying, hey, how are you doing this? How are you? Mm-hmm. Why are your numbers up so much? And what can you share with us, your business partners here? And we could all take advantage of some of the ideas you have. You know, they're pretty much on the right track. One caller, didn't hang on the line, said he's concerned along this line that Jacksonville doesn't have enough people to make this work. I guess he's saying enough people to constantly, you know, go there and take advantage of that and spend money and have that. And I, you know, I don't know. Again, way over my head. I don't know what that break even point is in terms of the number of people you need to have. But again, I think this is something that if it ever comes to complete fruition, and that may be several years down the line, that will draw people as a destination to come here. Hey, let's take that golf vacation, that beach vacation, that Florida vacation that we've always talked about. And you know what? We'll pair it with, have you heard about the cool new area they've
sure.
got that is, you know, like
let's
the new place
visit
to be?
Downtown Jacksonville for a night.
For the first time.
Right.
Maybe ever. Let's go to the phones. John is up next, 641-1010. John, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, I think the shipyard's idea is fantastic, but I want to also bring it into a little bit more to the rest of downtown. And I just want to start by saying I'm almost 59 years old. And I can remember when downtown, all the best stores and everything were there. My dad had an office down there. But what I think one of the biggest problems is, and I hate to say this, I've been homeless before, and I've used the facility downtown, but they need to start paying
Is he breaking up on us, Tyler?
He's got a bad phone.
I apologize, John. You're talking about, I believe John said, if I'm not mistaken, he said I've been homeless before.
That's what he said, yeah.
And he was talking about the facilities that are available downtown, and we lost your point because your phone kind of trailed off. John didn't cut you off, so if you want to call back and make your point, you're welcome to do that. 641-1010 is the number. We got to take a quick timeout. Here's what we've got coming up. We got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Coming up in a little after that, we'll go out to Indianapolis for the first time this week. Ryan O'Halloran's there. We'll get his, I'm sure, rosy and optimistic viewpoint on the Jaguars' state of the franchise address yesterday, and he'll lay the groundwork for what's going to happen in Indianapolis. By the way, if you're wondering, I believe I looked at the schedule last night. If I'm not mistaken, tomorrow Gus Bradley is going to have a noon press conference, and Dave Caldwell will do one at noon on Friday. You know, basically they have a running series of a different head coach or GM every 15 minutes in Indy as they go through the entire league over the next several days. So that's when you can expect to hear any reaction, combine-related or otherwise, from Gus and Dave over the next couple of days. We'll do that coming up at 11:15 with Ryan O'Halloran. This date in football history is next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, 1965, February 18th, Frank Gifford announced his retirement from football to take up broadcasting. And in 1994, Tony, do tell me, what league did the Shreveport Pirates participate in?
In what year?
1994.
Shreveport Pirates were...
Say it fast three times.
No idea.
Shreveport Pirates...
Arena football.
...were a Canadian Football League team.
That's what? Stupid.
In Shreveport, Louisiana. In fact, how do we not know? Maybe I was just... This was an era, and I'm thinking back to what was going on in my life around then. I probably wasn't paying as much attention to football right then, certainly, than I am now. There were as many as five teams at the same time playing in the United States of America in the Canadian League, sometime between 93 and 95. I'll give you a dollar for everyone you can name without looking.
Shreveport Catfish. I got a dollar.
It's the Pirates. So that's, no. You had the Birmingham Barracudas, the Memphis Mad Dogs, the San Antonio Texans, the Las Vegas Posse, the Sacramento Gold Miners, and the only team to win the Grey Cup based in the United States, the Baltimore Stallions, which apparently was the only team that consistently made money.
That's weird.
Back in the day. It's totally weird and incredible to believe. George Teague, born on this day in 1971. I believe he was the cowboy who took offense to Terrell Owens spiking the ball on the star.
He was.
And wanted to regulate that situation back in the day. So there you have it, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you're in the market for a family dentist or you need cosmetic work done, maybe the custom fit Somnimed Snore Guard. Stop snoring today. Call 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care options. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, while we all still eagerly await the result of the league's investigation of Deflategate, please note my sarcasm. We have learned some new information about something that went on during the AFC Championship game. New England Patriots locker room attendant Jim McNally apparently tried to give officials an unapproved K-ball. That would be the ball especially used for just special teams, whether it be kicking or punting. At one point in the game, he tried to get that in there. The ball wasn't stamped, so it wasn't used as an official notice when it was handed to him, but it is another chapter to the NFL's version of our current never-ending story. According to Adam Schefter and Josh Weinfuss, the Arizona Cardinals and wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald are close to reworking their deal to create some cap space for the Cards and take some of the sting out of the $16 million that is owed to Fitzgerald under his current contract right now. Some sources are saying that the deal is done and could create $13 million in cap space for the Arizona Cardinals this year. And Lovie Smith, speaking just moments ago up at the NFL Combine, when asked about Marcus Mariota, His quote is, he's good both on and off the field, raising some eyebrows. And when asked about Jameis Winston, said nothing he's done off the field has taken him off their board so that they'd be comfortable with selecting him first overall and making him the face of their franchise. So
yeah.
he's playing both sides
right now,
and
look,
he should.
Look, I've heard yesterday somebody said they spoke with a couple of GMs and blah, 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 and there's some editorials that were of this mind that said, Jameis Winston's off my draft board. I don't care if he's available in the sixth round. Well, first of all, Mr. Editorial Writer.
That's stupid.
You know, you're not a GM, and it would be stupid. Really? You wouldn't take a chance on that guy in the sixth round of the draft. Really? Okay, you can say that because A, you're not a GM, and B, he'll never be there in the sixth round of the draft. So you can say anything you want.
Right.
But that is stupid. I'm sorry. The risk at that point compared to the potential reward. Really get outside the first round and the risk is so over, or the reward is so potentially overwhelming.
Sure.
But all it takes is for the Bucks to not be bothered by it. If the Bucks are not one of those teams that take him off the board, it's not going to matter because I think he's going to go number one. Lovey said, speaking of Winston, quote, he went through our court system and he was cleared, exonerated. Some might put it that way. Others might not put it that way. So that's up to you to debate whether you feel he's exonerated. Charges were never filed against him. He also, he said, what else can you do? He said, you know, he went through the school, disciplinary system, was exonerated from that as well. He says, you look at the history of our league, there's been some good players that have been accused of things and they're playing right now. Yeah, we're okay with where Winston is right now. So, I guess Lovey is taking it as a, you know, bring me the charges against him, bring me the convictions against him, and it better rise to more than taking some soda in the water cup at Burger King, I guess, is what Lovey's looking at. And right now, I think if you polled most observers of the National Football League, they'd bet heavily on Winston being the number one overall pick in the draft. So
no, I think that's where we're at
right
now.
I'd be surprised if it were anything else at the moment.
No, I would be too. And I'm curious to see, you know, look, it's a big couple days for Jameis Winston in that, look, it sounds like the Buccaneers are comfortable with whatever happened, but they're going to get their chance to sit down and talk to Jameis Winston this week. And how does that go for Jameis? How does it go for a guy like Marcus Mariota, who has been so fantastic away from the field? There's nothing on that guy away from it. The question with him is he really as much a system quarterback as everyone says he is? And can he make the throws that he needs to from the pocket in the National Football League? And we may not even start to get the answer to that this week because it's not clear whether or not he's going to throw yet.
Well, yeah, the plan is to throw. It's like coaches say, I have no plan on exploring any other job opportunities, but my plans could change here as soon as this interview is over.
No, it could, and it was. I talked to Tony Pauline last night on my show again, and I asked him specifically about Marcus Mariota and what his gut feeling is on whether or not he's going to throw. And he said, look, he's working with the same people who handled Blake last year, and a lot of people were unsure what Blake was going to do at the combine. He threw. He was one of the few guys that were among the top prospects who did, but he threw at the combine. So he says, look, if Mariota is healthy enough to throw, he expects him to throw.
Would that be a little bit of a red flag? I mean, I realize it was just a month and a half ago, but you know, if your shoulder, and it was a shoulder injury,
it was,
would keep you from throwing a month and a half later.
And by the way, a guy like Mariota needs to be showing off that arm as much as he possibly can. With the questions they have about him, he needs to throw as often as he can.
I don't agree with that.
We saw Bridgewater killed by it last year, not throwing at the combine because his pro day was so terribly bad.
Right, but the Vikings had him in and apparently blew them away in the private workout. If Mariota has a bad combine or pro day and goes and works out for the Bucks and is pinpoint accurate for the Bucks, that matters more than, to me, that matters more than anything he does. Good or bad at the combine, you can throw great at the combine. Then what if you go work out for the Bucks and they put you through the paces individually and they're like, whoa. Where's the guy we saw at the combine? You don't look as sharp. I think that is much more important to me.
Yep, that may be more important, but you're getting more, the more opportunities you have, especially
Andrew
with the
Luck
guy who
didn't throw at the combine.
Well, Andrew Luck was Andrew Luck.
But I'm saying you don't have
that's
to.
That's a completely different animal.
Not necessarily.
That's, Andrew Luck's like saying Peyton Manning, whether or not he threw at the combine. Who cares whether or not guys that we all know what they
Sam
are.
Sam Bradford didn't throw at the combine. He went number one overall. He wasn't Andrew Luck.
I'm not saying that you can't. I'm saying that if I was a guy like Marcus Mariota with the questions about me and my ability to make the throws at the NFL level, I would take every opportunity I had to show that I can.
Maybe I would. I'm just saying I don't think it matters if you throw well in the workouts for the teams that are really interested in drafting.
It doesn't, but it's you're giving yourself a smaller and smaller window.
Maybe, but by doing it that way, it's a smaller and smaller window. Even if you throw well at the combine and you go and work out, the Bucs are still going to want you to work out.
No, the workout's the most important thing. I'm not saying that it's not.
If you bomb that workout,
sure,
they're probably not taking you with that pick anyway.
No.
Right? So does it really matter if you did well at the combine? I mean, honestly, I think it's more of
if there's a team that doesn't work you out that did see you perform at the combine, maybe it does. Look, I don't know.
A team that doesn't work you out. But if you're the Bucs, if you're a team like the Bucs and you have the number one pick in the draft,
sure,
you're damn sure they're bringing in Mariota and Winston and working
these
guys
out.
Right. So, and look, I think a lot of this is generated by the media who go to Indy and they try to shame guys into throwing because they want to see and they want to write their stories about what they looked like. And we watch it on TV and everybody like, oh, you're chicken. You're not going to throw. Look, it's a business decision. If you think it's been played both ways, successfully both ways and unsuccessfully both ways, I think it really comes down to the individual guy more than it does where he throws, as long as he throws well. At some point, particularly
sure,
when they're putting you through the paces of what they expect and they're trying to make you throw the throws that they think they're going to envision you doing in their offensive scheme and their plan and all that.
Do you, and I get that Teddy Bridgewater was still selected by Minnesota. Do you think Teddy Bridgewater is a Minnesota Viking if he didn't have the atrocious pro day and didn't throw at the combine?
What if he threw poorly at the combine?
Well, what if he did, but he didn't throw at the combine? We know what we have with Teddy Bridgewater. He's a Minnesota Viking because of the workout he had with Minnesota. If he had performed well at his pro day, where he was terrible at his pro day.
Sure.
But if he had performed well at his pro day in front of all those teams and done whatever workouts he had done as well as
he did.
Do you
think his pro day kept the Jaguars from drafting over Blake Bortles?
No.
I don't either. So I don't think it goes to Jacksonville.
I don't think before that ever started. I think they knew Blake was their guy.
Right, so then it comes down to Cleveland, and you got an idiot who runs a franchise who took the, a homeless man's advice on the morning of the draft and said, go get Johnny Manziel. That's the story he told, not me.
It certainly is.
I don't know. And Teddy Bridgewater might have thrown it through 50 brick walls at his pro day with pinpoint accuracy, and Jimmy Haslam still may have made a bad decision. We'll never know, obviously. All right, we'll take a timeout. Ryan O'Halloran coming up live from Indianapolis at the scene of the NFL scouting combine. We'll get his reaction to the state of the Jaguars and more from the Florida Times Union. That's coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today rolls on. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tyler, we have O'Halloran on the line.
Yes, we do.
How about that? Let's punch him up and say hello to Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, and everyone's favorite traveling correspondent. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
We're good. How are you? How's Indy?
Good. It is a little nippy, but it's by tonight, the wind chill is going to be about 20 below, they said.
20 below, okay, because I was like, wow, it's going to be like mid-40s tomorrow. I don't know, that might not coincide with a good golf game. That's my concern. 20 below. Well, as you know, though, Indy's like, I think the entire city is under one bubble, right, Ryan? At least that's the way they make it out to be in the downtown area. Everything's kind of interconnected.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much staying probably a good 15-minute walk from here, and I really am outside for about half a block.
There you go.
So,
Tough it out. All right, so what about that that little walk you're going to have to be taking in a few years to the new practice facility for the Jacksonville Jaguars? What did you make of the Shipyards presentation, the overall state of the franchise address yesterday?
Oh, unpopular opinion comment. I sort of got killed for this yesterday on Twitter. Is when they first planted the seeds for this publicly, which was probably a year ago, is at the front of that conversation was an indoor practice facility, because after all, this is a football team. This is the owner of a football team. They basically just totally ignored that. I mean, they called it a public play area. And finally, 20 minutes in, they finally get around to talking about, oh, there's a practice facility. Shad said afterwards, it's not even going to be indoor. It's going to have a roof on it. And I don't know how that helps the sideways rain. So, I mean, I'm splitting hairs here, but the rest of it obviously was very impressive to look at. You know, I would have liked to seen a dollar figure. I would have liked to seen a groundbreaking, even though they don't have the approval yet. Give me some kind of more of a vision on when you want to get this done.
Yeah, the thing with the, I guess my standpoint or viewpoint would be, if they're happy with the proposal for how the practice facility would work, I guess I'm all right with it. I mean, it would still have cover, and I guess that's the most important thing when you're dealing with thunderstorms, because that's what we're talking about. You don't want to, it's not the rain so much as it is the lightning that you're trying to protect from. So at least they'd have that option. You know, who knows? That's the preliminary plan. Maybe it gets enhanced or developed over the years as far as it goes, but I thought the whole thing overall was pretty impressive.
Yeah, what was interesting is how you saw, I mean, I'll say that I didn't see it the first time they ran through the video. I mean, I saw half of the field. So, I mean, to me, it's like, it's almost like, okay, they're more concentrated on the other stuff, and the football part is an afterthought, this stuff. But.
Okay. Is there a takeaway or two from you from what Mark Lamping had to say yesterday in his state?
Well, that's what I mean. That was the part I was paying attention to. Is I think when you go 3-13, any kind of growth in those areas should be considered success. So I think in that respect, that was good news for this. You know, they predicted last year the ticket revenue would go up even though the prices didn't. That was true. They hope some of the other percentages, the fan, you know, the target fan percentage would go up. It did. So, I mean, I think that was good news because I'm sure they thought in the back of their mind their marketing efforts would include it by X amount. That if they win some games, they'll take the next lead. But I think right now they're probably reaching their ceiling a little bit. Now it's time to start winning the games and take the next jump.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I know their projections, I think it was for local revenue, are going up to potentially 22nd in the league in 2015, up from dead last when Shad Khan took over the franchise. But I'm with you. I want a little bit of wait and see on that, because last summer there was so much new. You had a new quarterback, right? You had the scoreboards, the whole enhanced stadium experience for the first time, the cabanas, the all that stuff, right? And while they have plans to enhance the club seating, that's not going to go into effect really until 2016, and obviously they still need to get that signed off in Tallahassee. But assuming it does go forward, you're not going to have as many immediate changes as you had last off season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see some of those things flatten out a little bit for that very reason, is because you're basically going to be using the same stadium. And I think, you know, the cabanas look great and they're, you know, whatever, but where from an NFL perspective, where the Jaguars are really going to get into their money is with this club seat project. I was totally impressed by how that looks and what kind of revenue they're going to be able to generate. And let's face it, they needed to take out seats, which they're putting a little bit back. So, you know, the numbers aren't going to reflect it in 2015, but like you said, Mike, is when they get that in, then you'll probably see another spike in 2016.
Did you see anything that raised concerns? I know I've heard a lot of people talking about that number of, look, there's a large percentage of fans here in Jacksonville who call themselves NFL fans, but the percentage of them that call themselves Jaguars fans, only around 35%. A lot of people have been talking about that. Did you hear anything yesterday that concerned you?
Well, I think the two things, like, you look at every PowerPoint that Mark Lamping put up, and you'll correlate, okay, how do you improve this? Well, the two big things that winning improves are television ratings and people becoming Jaguar fans. So it's great that you're, you know, again, the Jaguars' perspective, hey, it's great that you're a football fan. Now we got to make you a Jaguar fan. That should be their goal. That happens by waiting to get you out to the stadium. The other thing, the TV ratings are never going to be great compared to the rest of the league. Only way those come up is they win.
Right. And I think they showed that with the graphic yesterday, where the peak in the last 10 years of people identifying themselves as Jaguar fans was 2007. I mean, the year-by-year fluctuation pretty much coincided with the win totals, you know? And it just shows you, and I don't think it's native to this market. I think that's just the way it is. We live it every single day. You write about it every day. We talk about it on the air every day. And so we're immersed in it. And there are a lot of fans who we consider themselves NFL fans that don't live like that moment to moment with a particular team, and they can be swayed, and those kind of fans are important, I think, to the long-term stability of this franchise. Well, so get on with the winning already.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right in terms of, if you look at those teams, we're diabolically interested in pro football. And, like, I sort of, like, I've trained my brain, okay, how does anybody not watch pro football in this country? Those people that do. So it's their job to get those people to start watching, to get people to start buying jerseys.
Turning our attention to what's going on up there for the Combine this week, I know Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley scheduled to speak over the course of the next couple of days. What are some of the things you're looking forward to hearing from those guys while they're up there?
Well, I start with Gus, is, you know, the transition from the offensive coaching staff that had been in place working together for a couple of weeks. And also, from Gus's perspective, what, you know, as much as he wants to reveal, what we know they need a free safety, we know they need an outside linebacker at the auto spot. How does he feel about their defensive front? So far, he's said all the right things about Roy Miller's knee surgery, about Derek Parks' knee surgery. To me, I think defensive tackle is a concern, because those two guys, yes, they may play week one, but you don't know how much they're going to play. So that sort of swayed them from, maybe instead of a pass rusher in the first round, they have to go get a big body that can play that side, play inside and absorb those blocks and let linebackers make tackles. But Dave Caldwell's perspective, when he talks on Friday, is, you know, looking at the running back spot, how do you weigh the value? And let's see, you're not going to take one in round one. Then take with the right tackle spot. You don't take one in round one. How long can you wait? You look at last year, he had to make a trade to get in the late third round to get Brandon Linder at right guard because that market was dwindling. So
right.
He has a little less flexibility. So how does that affect the strategy?
When you look, and obviously, you know, just speaking of the defensive tackle thing, I think that's why they probably don't want to talk too much about the whole Cedric Mark situation, because why have that light bulb on above other teams' heads? Like, hey, wait a minute, maybe we're looking at this wrong. And clearly, Leonard Williams seems to be a guy who's versatile enough to help you inside. If you want to play him inside, you can play him next to Red Bryant for a year, ultimately with an idea of moving him back out to the left defensive end position. So I think a lot of people would still see him as the number one target for the Jags if he's available. Let me ask you about the QBs, though. Tentatively, we're expected to see Winston and Mariota throw. We'll see if that actually comes to pass. You know, Mariota says if he's healthy enough, and Winston says that's the plan for now, at least the representatives do. Ryan, how is it looked on right now, in your opinion? You're there, we're not. Tony and I have differing views on this, but how important is it for the top quarterback prospects to throw at the Combine?
I think it's important, and Jaguar fans will look at the example at their house. Blake Bortles is, he didn't have a great throwing day last year here, but teams are simply impressed by the fact that you're not afraid to do it. You know, you go and you're throwing receivers you've never worked with, you're throwing in front of every coach and GM in the league, you know, going with modest expectations. And I think they just want to see you get out there and try and fight through it. So I think it's important for Winston and Mariota, just so they don't have to answer that question, just go out there and sling it. And you see, like, Kerry Grayson, the Colorado State guy, who could be the third or fourth quarterback, he says reportedly he's not going to throw. He's an idiot. He should throw. So I think the more you got, the more they could do, the better.
I know you've been on running back for the last couple of months for the Jaguars in the second round, maybe the third round. Is there a guy or two you have your eye on this week?
Well, the Abdullah kid from the past is interesting because his production is off the charts, but he has a lot of fumbles. Lost 14 fumbles out of 27 in his college career, but his average for carry up around like the 6.872 mark, I think. That seems to be like a home run kind of hitter they need. They'd probably have to take him the second round. But the more and more you look at it, the more and more you talk to people is, could you get a good running back in the third round? Could you get a good running back in the fourth round? Because if you get in the sixth and seventh, you really are throwing a dart at the board. But if you can go to those top four rounds, maybe you find somebody you can play right away.
Yeah, I actually saw Dane Brugler tweeted out just in the last hour or so, the highest fumble rate among 2015 running back prospects, guys. Abdullah was number one. He had a fumble every 35 touches, essentially, last year. The next highest is Gordon with 54. So that is a tremendously high fumble rate for one player.
That's why the Jaguars, Tony, should take Melvin Gordon at number three.
At number three. Wait a minute. You don't think they should move up? make sure they get the guy? Huh?
Okay,
you can't take,
hey,
a risk of him going to Tennessee.
Hey, you guys said it. I'm disagreeing with you.
I hear you. By the way, did Nebraska go like 15-0 last year? Because Randy Gregory and Abdullah, really? Did they? I'm not saying those individual guys wouldn't be worth the picks, but my goodness. By the way, the groundswell is, and I have been of a mind of this, that the whole draft coverage thing, Ryan, works this way. Somebody gets an actual piece of intelligence, and they put it out there, and little by little, other people come around to that realization. And because it just seems like in the last few days, Dante Fowler has become the cause celeb versus Randy Gregory on why Fowler's the better prospect. But you're all of a sudden seeing it all at the same time from a multitude of guys. It's not like he's done anything different in the last couple of weeks to change that. It makes me feel that people are getting around to talking to some of these GMs and scouts, and they're telling them that, hey, we think Fowler's more versatile. We think he does this better. He's a better, less of an injury risk, whatever the case. Do you get that sense that that's how that thing kind of works a little bit?
Happens every year because you have 2 weeks between the Super Bowl and the Combine. I took a week off. A lot of people took a week and a half off, but you finally get back to your vacation, you recharge the batteries, you start actually researching these guys. And people who didn't do it, I did it in December and January. You look up Randy Gregory, he had a laundry list of injuries last year. Okay, that's a concern. You look up the Abdullah kid while we're talking Nebraska. A lot of fumbles, that's a concern. And all of a sudden, and then you get one guy who says that Dante Fowler looks the part. Well, then people just sort of pick up on that. And I couldn't pick Dante Fowler out of a lineup during the college football season last year. So it's all about you know, people, the experts or whatever, but it'll happen every year. It's going to happen every week up until the cards are turned in on draft night.
While we have you here, Ryan, a story Mike and I haven't had a whole lot of time to get into yet in the last couple of days, but looking at free agency now 20 days away, Randall Cobb said a couple days ago that he would like $9 million a year. That's the kind of contract he's looking for. Is that good news for Jacksonville, do you think, as far as him hitting free agency? And is that the kind of number you were looking at for him anyway in your own mind's eye?
If I'm the Jags, Dean Hayes, Carlina were talking about this in the stadium. If I'm the Jags, I see that number. And when you're legally offered the contract, I'll say, hey, Randall, I know you like that $9 million. How does 9.5 sound?
How's 10? Get him in right.
Exactly. You know, just say, hey, we're going to go above what you think you're going to get to lock you up into a 3-13 team. So I have no problem. That's why you have the space, because the 3-13 team, you're going to have to pay 120 cents on the dollar for a player like that. I wouldn't have a problem with them going 9-5-10 on Randall Cobb.
Look at what the Seahawks were prepared to pay Percy Harvin, right? What he has left on the Jets contract, unless they absolve it, which they probably will. He's got like 4 years, $41.5 million left.
Yeah.
Okay? Go give that to Randall Cobb right now. He's just as versatile. I mean, they're very similar guys. He's not built as thick as Percy Harvin, but he's not as much of an injury risk. He impacts you in the return game. He can run those plays where you can hand him the football just like Percy Harvin. He can run probably most of the same routes Percy Harvin does. Dangerous with the ball in his hand after the catch. I'm with you, man. Go offer him $10 million. Tell him to bring Bulaga with him, and then let's really get serious and start spending some money after that. So
this is why you plan for 2.5 years, is so you can swim for the fences and not just say, hey, you got warning track out. Time to hit a couple home runs.
All right, Ryan, enjoy the afternoon. What's going on today? Just weigh-in, stuff like that, or any workouts today? What's going on?
So today and tomorrow, there's no on-field workouts until Friday. But they have, over the next 4 days, they have 45 GMs and coaches running through the building here.
Gotcha.
And then all the position groups. Like today is the offensive line, so we'll be able to talk to some of these right tackles and get some stuff in the paper tomorrow.
All right, we'll look forward to it, man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you over the next couple of days. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union on Twitter, simply at Ryan O'Halloran, if you'd like to get on board with that. Let me get Daryl in quickly before we break. We'll come back. Fan Feedback Spotlight, your reaction to the State of the Jaguar press conference yesterday. Daryl, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I've got a kid, my son. He's doing the Florida State bass fishing tournament down in Toho next weekend. going to be tied up that with that for a couple of days, but I got a coach pushing me to take him to a combine while we're down there also. But he's in 10th grade. So, you know, how important are combines to 10th graders? He's 6'5", 247. He's a good kid. He's pretty quick. But, I mean, you know, you got to have a life other than football in 10th grade.
Yeah, you say that, and I don't disagree. You know, when I grew up, you played, you know, when I grew up, you know, even then, it was starting to lean towards specialization, but yeah. You played what was in season, Tony. Different times of the year. I mean, even I'm just talking about recreationally. You and your boys, you played basketball at a certain time of year. You played baseball at a certain time of year. You played football at a certain time of the year.
One of the reasons that Florida and Texas and California have been the hotbeds they've been.
Because you can choose to play all year football. Yes, right. You're right. And that's the thing. Look at baseball's the biggest. Well, I coach soccer. I see it all the time. Little kids are getting plucked. I mean, I ever since I started coaching like 6 year olds, the best kids get plucked for the traveling teams, the all-star teams, the academy teams is what they call them.
Yep.
That's fine. They're trying to develop the elite of the elite, and they're trying to raise the level of the culture of soccer in the United States. I get it, but you feel like now my best friend Bill, he lives up in Virginia, and he's been coaching Little League. He's got two boys, so he's been coaching for years now. And if you're not playing travel baseball and doing all these things, you just don't go and play Little League and show up and make the high school team anymore. I'm sure there are exceptions to that rule.
Right.
But it's just, I mean,
there are relationships built over years.
It's a 12-month thing. Yeah. And it's not just the relationships. It's the, you got to compete against the better players, and they're constantly playing. You're going to fall behind the curve, and it just wasn't like that. For good or bad, you know, that's why you're not going to see too many more, if ever, you know, the Deion Sanders who could play both at a major league level. There are
right.
probably some guys, maybe Russell Wilson could do it if he devoted the time to play baseball, but Deion could actually just kind of roll out. That was more about Deion than anything else. But I mean, like Jameis Winston, he pitches. Could he pitch at a major league level? Maybe. I don't know, but
he's never going to be given the opportunity to develop the skills.
Not now. Right. So, the fewer and fewer guys diversify, kids diversify. Good or bad, I don't know. You tell me. I'm sure a lot of kids have found success going down that path. And all these summer camps and combines and all these things, do I think they're necessary? Well, you know, I have a different outlook. I guess if my kid, was helping him, and I think in some cases parents are driving them to try to fulfill the parents' wishes on some of that stuff. Not always the case. A lot of it, you know, the kids eat it up. It's just you're either going to do it 12 months out of the year or you're not going to do it at all.
Right.
If you want to have success doing it. That's why don't look for Colin Dempsey to be the next Dempsey on the U.S. men's national team, because when it's soccer season, we'll play some soccer. When it's not, we won't. And that's just the way it is for him, and I'm cool with that. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. Fan feedback spotlight coming up, asking you about your reaction to, I'm going to call it Conville. Of course, I'm trying to name the city Conville, but all the proposals that went down, state of the franchise, economics, where things stand, the potential for development of the shipyards and everything that goes with it. We'll get to your reaction coming up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, then. Got some business to take care of here, Fat Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for that Fantasy NASCAR League. Darn it. Okay? It's on Yahoo. It's league number 11561. Password is 1010XL. Got about 10 people sign up since the last time I mentioned it. So it's capped at 50, but if it fills up, I'll open up a new league. And we can do as many as 150 people. It's fun. If you never played before, pretty easy, really. You pick two. They have drivers grouped in A, B, and C. You pick two A's, four B's, and two C's every week, and you get points for all of them for how they qualify, and then you set your lineup after qualifying with one out of the A group, two out of the B, one out of the C group, and you get points for how they finish. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, you track it throughout the year. We do drop the low week in each section. There's a spring, summer, and then the chase section of the season, and each section you get the lowest score drop. If you've never been a big NASCAR fan, it doesn't matter. I wasn't either. And then I started playing, but then again, I'm just a fantasy nut, so I can't tell you how much golf I watched this weekend with Snedeker in contention.
Right.
A bunch. And same thing with NASCAR. I'll watch, I won't watch every single lap, but I will watch 90% of probably half the races.
Sure. I mean, I know I'll be locked in on Sunday.
Right, you get to football season and forget it. I'm not even thinking about NASCAR anymore. I'll still turn on my lineup, but you know how it is. So it's League 11561. Just search that. If you have a Yahoo profile name, you look for the fantasy league number 11561. The password is 1010XL. The league name is Jaguars Today, but they make you search by number rather than league name, apparently. So check that out, 11561 on Yahoo, password 1010XL, and sign up, and you can eat my dust as I lap you. I fell asleep for about a month in the middle of the season last year and still did very well.
I did not.
I was kicking myself. I know, because you fell asleep for the second half of the season.
I did.
At least. Maybe the second.
I did.
Maybe the 80% of the season.
Which is why I haven't signed up yet. If I sign up, it's because I'm committed to finishing the season, and if I don't, it's because I just don't think I would.
You're not going to sign up then, because you will not be committed to finishing the season. That's my prediction for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that will shame you into joining or not.
Probably not.
Probably not. That's probably the case. All right. Let us take a look at the Fan Feedback Spotlight, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, Tony, featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini. The next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, check them out at TomBush.com. Today we asked you your reaction to the state of the Jaguars. What do we get?
Here's what we got from Paul. What's my reaction? Shad Khan for mayor. From Eric. Shipyards won't affect just football season, but Suns games, concerts, shows, the fair, everything. From Larry, I'm crazy excited. Can't wait for a night out or a Saturday afternoon trip to the new shipyards. From Mike, the major takeaway was that we're extremely fortunate as fans to have Shad Khan as the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And from Brian, my reaction summed up in three words. Everything is awesome. Hashtag will relocate from DC to Jax.
All right, what's stopping you? Let's
go. Come on
down,
Brian.
Come on down. See, that's part of the economic impact. Stevie Howland tweeted out that he said, oh, it's nice of Shad to put some condos in for my, I don't know if he used eventual, but I'm going to say eventual relocation. The lure of the Jaguars is too strong for me. One game a year in Europe will not be enough for Irish Jaguar. He must make the permanent trek across the Atlantic.
Come on down, buddy.
Come on over and join us. Guess who's trekking in to join us next week here on the program? We thought, you know, actually, we didn't think much. This is just like a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing. But I do think it'd be kind of cool in the off season, like we're in now, where, you know, there's stuff going on, but it's not so time-sensitive and critical, to give some of the hardcore Jag fans, the loyalists out there, a chance to come in, maybe interact a little, be the voice of the fan on the program a little bit. You have that opportunity every day just by picking up the phone or tweeting the show, but no one is a more prolific tweeter of the program, I would say, for good or bad, has only been blocked once by me on Twitter, than Duval Doom. And he's going to join us in studio next Friday, so all you Jag fans can eat your heart out, as Duval Doom will have the wonderful experience of being in the room with the carpeted walls, which we're in right now.
Yeah.
And who knows what manner of Jaguar dignitary he will come across. Although, what's the whole timetable? How long does this combine stretch out to?
Till Monday?
Is that it? Monday?
Tuesday, I think.
So everybody will be back by then?
Yeah.
All right, because Gus typically gives us about a 10-second pep talk every morning when he walks by. Something like that. So maybe Duval Doom will get here early enough to enjoy all the amenities of that. We'll have a special Friday Top 5 in his honor coming up next week. We got to figure out the Friday Top 5. It's got to be football related this week.
Yes, it does.
We'll
come up with something.
Oh, I doubt. I don't doubt that we will. We'll come up with something tomorrow for that, for the Friday Top 5 as far as that goes, and continue to check in on the Combine as it starts to get cranked up. John Osier will join us over the next couple of days from Jaguars.com, which just go to Jaguars.com, by the way, if you missed anything of the presentation. I realize some people can't plan their work schedule around this program or the Jaguars press conferences. You probably need a new job if that's the case. But in the meantime, you can go to Jaguars.com, watch the video. You got to see the video. People were describing it much like the Jacksonville love letter video, basically, that helped debut the scoreboards.
Yeah,
and
city in motion.
You know, just the same kind of emotional impact for people to see. That was more a look of where we've been. Here's everything great about Jacksonville. Here's where it could go and where it could be and how great it can be and how much better it can be, potentially. I'm sure everyone's not going to fall on board, and they're naysayers and all, that's fine. I choose to bathe in the Kool-Aid right now as far as that goes. Shad Khan is a pretty smart dude, and I'm gonna choose to follow that guy
yep.
when it comes to economic development more so than anybody else at this point in time, and I'm going to believe that he can get the job done until proven otherwise. And if I am proven wrong, so be it. But I hope that's not the case, you know. And you know, again, laugh at all those Twitter people, the dwindling few out there that think this franchise isn't long for the First Coast, because the roots are just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So. I'm kind of a little bit giddy about the whole prospect of everything that happened. And if you are, I understand that reaction. If you're not, well, hopefully all these things will come to pass, and they'll convert you as well.
Come on and enjoy downtown, Jack.
Come on, baby. all right. Up next, the boys of XL Primetime at Tony's favorite spot. Is one of his favorite spots, I believe, they're going to be broadcasting from coming up this afternoon. So listen for that. Coming up in just a few minutes, thanks again to Metro Rooter. They bring you the show every Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. So for Fat Tony, for Ryan O'Halloran, who joined us live from Indy, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, and for Lauren Brooks, it was good to see LB yesterday. Mm-hmm. Although, just typical Tony, I go upstairs with her on the escalator. We're going to sit down. Forget it. You know, it's like a receiving line. Oh, it's Lauren. Oh, it's Lauren. Hey, everybody, there's Lauren. Hey. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just gonna move on at this point.
She's a Jacksonville celebrity.
Pretty much. Oh, she is. There's no question about that. I just had to slink off and find my own little spot to sit there. And, you know, I like going with Lauren because she makes me look good by being in my presence. And she's cool and all that, but, apparently, just cannot get through that reception line without being stopped by every dignitary in Jacksonville. It's a tough life for a celebrity.
I'm sure.
Like LB. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Well, we'll be back right here live at Everbank tomorrow morning. Jaguars Today signing off on 1010XL 92.5 FM.